Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters. Welcome again to another edition of TNJ Radio. I'm in the building with my main man, Jay Wells. What's good, brother?
Good afternoon, brother. Good afternoon, kings and queens. I hope everybody's having a great week. I'm excited to be back on with you guys.
Yeah, we've been on a couple week hiatus, man. You know, life been happening real fast for us. It's summertime, and we've been traveling and working and on the road for work, so it's real hard for us to keep the popping every week, but we will do our absolute best to keep the show going every week. But we did have 2 weeks back-to-back where we was both kind of not able to make it happen. But we back in the building. We back with that absolute fire that y'all used to getting from us. And more importantly, we used to, you know, we back to what you used to, that solution-based radio. Because we can sit back and talk about the issues all day, but guess what? We want to talk about the solutions as well. And this is a really dope topic for us personally, and hopefully you all feel the same way. You know, you heard about DWB, Driving While Black. We wanted to go WWB, Working While Black, because it's essentially the same thing, right? When you drive while black, you working while black. It's no difference. A lot of us go off, myself and my brother Jay Wells included, go off and get these fancy degrees and or, you know, even if you don't have one of these, a degree or a trade or whatever, you wind up working with a whole bunch of people that don't look like you and primarily looking like white folks in particular. And you get stuck in this box to where it's like, okay, I'm the only black person in the building. Do I conform? How do I act? What's the protocol? And then you wind up losing yourself in the mix. And a lot of the times, actually, I feel as though we lose our sense of self because we get so locked up and caught up in the atmosphere that we're a part of, and you have to conform, and you can't be yourself as a black man or a black woman in those environments. And so that's what we really want to talk about today, because I know a lot of y'all out there struggling with this or go through this. So maybe it's a struggle or maybe you go through it, but at the same time, it's something that we have to address. It's something that we have to talk about on TNJ Radio, solution-based radio. And Wells, man, we both have worked for predominantly white corporations, companies, what have you, throughout our professional careers. And I would venture to say that the bulk and the vast majority of our colleagues have been white, which is an experience that we have to get used to, but they never get used to sitting in a condition or an office where they are the minority. So we're always the minority, but white folks usually never are in an office where they are the only white person in the building. So we got a lot of stories about this, but talk to me, man, about your experiences about being, I hate the word minority, I like to say ethnic minority, because minority means that you're small, but ethnic minority means that your ethnicity is the, you know, on the lower end in terms of the numbers. But talk to us about your experiences, man.
Brother, when I say it's been some of the most, I've had so many random issues, not necessarily random issues, just like some things are just so blatantly ignorant, all you can do is like, you can't even be upset. And coming in, fresh out of college, man, my first experience, I go straight into the corporate world. It was like I graduated from college. I was fortunate enough to already kind of have a job lined up when I walked across the stage. So it was like, okay, you know, I'm hanging out. I'm hanging out for a little bit for the summer. Then I go straight to work, and it was like it was one of those reminders of like that reality check of what the workforce is really like. And all I remember my first day of work, going in, and me being 12, 21. And people just saying, "Oh my God, you're so young! You're so young! So you're so well spoken!" like those random phrases start coming out. It's like, you're a very well spoken guy, and I mean, I'm pretty okay, but it's not, I would say I'm not that talented, no. But it's like you hear those things start being thrown around a lot more than you've ever expected. And when people start to look at you, they look at you like, oh, where'd you pop up? And always had this laugh about turning corners in office buildings, especially when you're not like a smaller dude. It's like you turn a corner and you have some small white woman, and she turns a corner and sees this random big black guy in the office building. She immediately gets a little startling effect, and it always kind of cracked me up. Like, you know, I wouldn't be here if I wasn't supposed to be here, right? It's like that's something that you just see all the time. But the memory that sticks out the most, man, was actually something that happened to me recently. When I recently switched companies, a young lady I worked with, it's a Caucasian lady. She comes to my office to come say hi, blah, 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 introduce herself. And my printer is from a company called Brother. This lady says, oh, said, look at that. Isn't that racist? A brother printer for the brothers. I said, what?
That's insane.
At first I was just like shocked. I'm like, did she think this was going to be a good icebreaker? I mean, what did she think that I was going to do?
Right.
I looked at her. I said, have a nice day. And just kind of gave her the exit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because there was nothing else to be said. I couldn't even, it's like, and again, if you know me, I smile all the time for no reason. I'm like, it's awful. I try to hold it back. And that's one of my, probably something I always kind of say I need to check. I naturally smile a lot. So it kind of makes me more approachable than most people. And I don't know if that's what made her feel like I was okay to do that too, or what made her feel like that was appropriate. It's safe to say she never did that again. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, my face dropped. I said, okay, you can have a nice day. I had to show her the door. But it was just like so ridiculous. And to me, it's like, did she have that one? Like, was she planning on using that joke? Or has she used that joke before? It's like, I wasn't.
You think she had that in her bag?
That was in the bag, man. She had that one in the clip ready to go. Because everybody else's office has a brother printer in there. It's like, she must have thought of that before. And what's really funny, man, it's like, she, later on, as time went past, she would always try to spark random conversations. You know, and I always say, man, it's like, when you're in offices, you kind of see people and you kind of get a little vibe for them. We always have that. It's like something that's funny about black people, man. We are like notorious for not oversharing, especially with strangers, especially with coworkers. We're very funny with that whole coworker line. Like, hey, well, this is only a work thing. This is not an outside of work thing. There's always that white woman that wants to tell you a lot more than you care to know. And from day one, she was immediately that person. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on, man. She listening to the show right now, B?
Probably so, but you know.
She knows who she is right now?
She knows. And it's like, I'm not bashful about the show, so I'll tell anybody to listen. So it's like, whatever. But it was so funny, man. I couldn't help but laugh. And it's like, ever since that moment, she's known not to cross any line with me. And it just kind of, I don't know, it's just funny, bro. It just cracked me up. But how about you, Trav?
Man, that's a good question. I mean, look, man, I've left jobs because of the racial tension. Like, let's be clear. I'm the person that, I'm not putting up with any crap from anybody in the workplace. I'm the kindest, most gentlest individual in the building. I bring energy to the building, and that's what I do. But I'm not taking crap from absolutely a single soul in the building. So let's be clear. And secondly, whether it be a supervisor, I don't care. Whether it be a colleague, it doesn't matter. But if it's racially charged, I'm definitely barking. I'm barking off top, but if it's racially charged, I'm barking. And so I guess my most meaningful experience was a few years ago. I won't name the organization, man, because, I mean, that's really irrelevant at this point. But the point is kind of like, you know, our experiences in these places, right, in these spaces. And so our organization had been under some tight, they had been in trouble for racism in the past versus black employees, where black employees weren't receiving, they were putting in the same amount of work in terms of years on the job, but they weren't receiving advancements and things of that sort. And so what happened was they got sued, they got in some big trouble and all that type of stuff. And so I was like the next wave of black dudes or black folk to come through the building after this lawsuit, right? So they were in a mind state that we need to have black people in the building. I might have been a token hire, but I had history with the organization, so I really don't think I was. I mean, if I was a token hire, I would say it. I'm cool with that, with saying that, because I know I'm going to crush it regardless. But what happened was there was an event, and then one of my white colleagues came up to me. True story. The event started the next morning at 8 o'clock. It was an MLK Day breakfast. And he came up to me, a white colleague, who wasn't going to the event. And he said, Travis, are you going to the MLK breakfast tomorrow? Because, you know, we had the day off or whatever. And I was like, well, I hadn't really thought about it, you know, so I'm not sure. And then he was like, well, I really think you should go because we need them to know that we hire black people.
Wow.
I was like, what? I was like, hold on, bruh. And you know how we do it. You know how we do it, bruh.
Yeah.
Hey, wrong frat, bruh.
Yeah, not me.
hey, wrong frat, bruh. You know what I'm saying? Right, shout out to Seth, man. hey, wrong fact, bruh. So when he said that, I was like, what? Like, I was so taken aback that he just flat out said, hey, bro, we need you to go to this event because we need people to know that we hiring black people. And the bad part was, like, I knew my man personally, and we had history because he was a previous supervisor of mine in the past, but I had climbed the ladder. And he wasn't a supervisor, you know, he wasn't my boss anymore. But he straight up asked me, bro, like, are you going? I'm like, I don't know. Well, we need you to go because we need some Negroes in the building. And I was like, wow.
He had no tact whatsoever.
No, like, he didn't care, bro. Like, he didn't care. And I was like, I was so shocked. I'm like, I don't know what to say. So I said, I'm like, I don't really know. Then I was like, nah, you know what? Like, I'm not going. I was like, I got some other volunteer activities that I'm jumping into tomorrow. Like, I'm not going. And that was that. Funny story, I still ended up going because I was going regardless because of the organization. It was like an Urban League event. So I was going, but I didn't want him to know I was going, right? So I told him I wasn't going. But that's the type of stuff that, you know what I'm saying, we go through when we're in these spaces. And then to take it a step further, we have to perform and do things a certain way in order to not be seen as incompetent. So what are your experiences, Wells, when it comes to expectations in the workplace? Because when you're black and you're in a workplace and you're in that space, they expect you to do certain things. They expect you to not only be good, but be great. Like a white dude, a white male could be average and stay getting that chicken. But like, you have to be extraordinary and exceed expectations. So for you, have you had any experiences in that space where you had to exceed expectations just because of that?
The thing that's crazy, the whole exceeding expectations thing, I was always kind of raised and brought up in the thought that, hey, I'm a super competitive guy. I expect to win. I expect to be successful in everything I do. That's just the way I'm wired. I always talk about that winner's mentality. That's like natural within me. And something that always kind of has, it's kind of, it's always existed in me. And with that, I've always wanted to exceed expectations anyway. And something that I got really conscious of when I first got out of school and started working is you never want to be the late black guy. It's like I always knew in my head I didn't want to be that guy. So I've always been an extra. I'm always a pretty punctual guy. That's something I've always kind of taken pride in. I like, and it's going to sound really kind of silly, man, but there was a scene in The Wire, and not to go through the show dynamics and everything, but this guy Chris told Mike, you never want to be the last man to a party. You always want to get there early. You don't want anybody setting up on you while you're setting up on them. And that made total sense to me. So I always want to go places early to see what's going on.
Hold on, bro. You getting work tips from The Wire, bro?
But I'm just saying. You always want to get there early. You got to set up, man. You got to know what people are doing. It's like, and for me, I always want to be in the meeting before the meeting. You know what I'm saying? I'm that guy. If somebody's going to have a sidebar conversation, I want to know about it before. I never want to be blindsided by things, especially professionally. And for me in the industry I've worked in, dude, I've been in some level of the sales industry since I got out of school. And that's why my energy level and those things have always kind of translated. And, again, it's my income is based to what I do. So, of course, I'm going to maximize effort because one of the why I'm chasing that chicken. You know what I mean? That's what I'm after.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, okay, so I'm just wired that way. So it just never really bothered me because I like being able to control my income. That's just how things work for me. Everybody else isn't wired like that. But so I never felt like the racial expectation to exceed it. I never felt like race was my motivational factor to exceed expectations, but I always wanted to do it independently. But with that being said, you always kind of felt it like other people, just because of what you were, you started to kind of feel like people knew you would do that. So it's kind of like you're being kind of used a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're being used to do these things. So I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to do it anyway, so I'm going to set this goal for you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I know you're going to exceed it, but I'm going to make sure it's not as hard for him because I don't think he's capable. Or I know he's not wired for this. Like there'll be sometimes a white employee that's not capable, that they know isn't wired that way. But they'll say, you know what, we're going to do this for you just because I know you can do it, but we'll keep this, we'll keep the goal here because this will make sure he's okay too. Like, I've personally seen that. You know what I'm saying? Again, not going to blast companies or anything, but I've personally seen that, you know. And I remember sitting there like, are we really going to play this game? Or is this really what we're going to do? And at this company, I'll never forget, I was discussing this with an older sister, and this was in the South, man. And that's something that kind of really turned me off. I think I may have told you this story before, Trav. But this older sister looked at me, and I was just kind of talking, and it was an older sister, a brother, and two white people there. And I said it. I was like, I don't understand why they do that though. I'm just talking about it, seeing if they'll acknowledge what's happening. And sister says, that's the thing with Northerners. It's like y'all don't, it's like black people in the South know they place. I said, what? I didn't know how to handle that. You know, I didn't know how to, and I didn't know how to work with that situation because that was just too much for me. You know what I'm saying? But again, it's like for me, I'm not going to be the dude to kind of flip out on the sister, especially. I'm not. That's just not me. So once again, I had to remove myself from that situation and that conversation because that was just so crazy that some people are really brainwashed into feeling like that's acceptable, though. You know what I mean? And it's like I've never heard anything like that. I'm not going to make that a North-South thing because I don't believe all Southerners feel that way. But for a sister to acknowledge that, an older sister to acknowledge that, it was just kind of crazy to me. And I don't know where she would get that sense of, I don't even know what to call that. It's like that's just being whitewashed at this point. You know, it's like she's just whitewashed to the point where she understands that it's going to be harder for her and not as hard for him. And yeah, we do know that. But the thing is, we're not going to make that seem acceptable. We're not going to make that cool. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not going to let them feel like that's acceptable. And no matter where I'm working or what I'm doing. And as I graduated into management roles, I made sure I wouldn't let that turn into, like, a standard. You know what I'm saying? If it's going to be this way for them, it's going to be this way for you too. You know, I'm going to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. And that's something I just never understood, man. I could never rock with that.
Yeah, I think me and you are pretty much wired the same way. That's why we get it in on a show like this, because I'm all about the killer mentality, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I don't do it, I feel like it's not going to get done. You know, I think we both kind of had this way about us where, look, go get the job done, go be a killer, do it because you feel like you want to outperform whatever you feel like you can do. Like, I'm internally motivated, so I want to be a beast. I want to, you know, in our me and Wells lingo, we want to be Kobe, you know what I'm saying, because we want to dunk on everybody. We want to take the last second shot. You know, you want to do everything that you can. You want to scowl. You want to have the most ferocious mentality in the workplace, because otherwise, if you don't, you're going to get walked over. Especially as a black man and a black woman, and that's just the reality of it. But you can do it with dignity and respect. You know, you don't have to do it with treating people bad and things of that sort. But you can go in there and exceed your own expectations. And it's really, I tell people all the time, man, like, life is about competition with self. It's never about competition with other people, because you'll never meet what you think other people are and what their lives are and what they're doing. Like, you'll never be able to reach up to that. But if you compete with yourself and be the best you that you can be, then that's when you know that you are, you know, I keep saying it, like, your inner Kobe, you know what I'm saying? Like, you release that inner beast. And that's all you. And whatever you do, you leave it all out there, and that's what it is. But you do definitely feel that pressure to perform as a person of color, but more specifically a black man / woman, because they expect you to do certain things based on stereotypes, and you do have to be a beast and not fall victim to that. So you are kind of caught in this catch-22, but some people just naturally gravitate to exceeding the expectations of the workplace. And then some people naturally gravitate to setting their own bar and saying, I want to, you know, score 40 points a game. Or for me as a fundraiser, I want to raise, you know, $2 million this year versus $1 million last year. And it has nothing to do with anybody else. So, I mean, I believe in setting your own expectations and, you know, and keeping it popping like that. Real quick, Wells, what about House Negroes in the workplace, man?
Bruh.
Because it's a lot of people that we work with that are brothers and sisters, but they do not want to mess with you. Like, they won't. Like, they'll mess with every other ethnicity in the building other than you, because they can sense your blackness. In a sense, they can sense that you are from black communities. You know, you might be from the hood because, you know, your English ain't as modest as they like or what have you. You know what I'm saying? You ain't tap dancing or whatever. How you feel about that, man?
What's crazy is, man, we have like a Negro sister. They know it. I feel like I'm a pretty clean cut dude, and I'm going to call them out. It's usually sisters, man. That's for real. Not even being funny. I've been in elevators with sisters that would just genuinely walk in, say good morning, not say a word. Caucasian dude comes in, smile, say good morning. Hi, hey, how's your day going? I'm like, geez, because I speak to everybody. I'm a pretty nice guy. It's like we go through, and for me, working in large corporate offices, you see this stuff. You're just like, geez, man. And after a while of telling someone good morning every day, they'll start saying it. They'll start responding back. But it's just like, wow, man. It's like, you don't have to try to disassociate yourself from your people or your culture just because you're here with them. And it's kind of sad, man. And I've been in environments where I've seriously watched people kind of shun themselves from their people just to go shuck and jive, to feel like they need to assimilate and be a part of a work clique. You know what I'm saying? And going back to like previous work experience, I've seen sisters be around dudes that call them the B word in a joking manner. Just because a white man disrespects his woman that way doesn't mean you should allow him to disrespect you that way. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it would be sisters that I know knew better. You know what I'm saying? And they would allow them to do that. It's like, it's just like, Jesus, man. And I've been in happy hours with people, coworkers, and kind of check somebody for that, and then still see like I'm looks like I'm being a jerk. You know what I'm saying? I've been turned into the jerk for that, and it's really crazy, man. It's like that need for assimilation has us kind of battling each other, and which in turn has always been one of the major crutches of our community.
Yeah, definitely. So I agree with you 100%. TNJ Radio, solution-based radio, as you all know. So right now we want to jump into some solutions, which is really difficult for a topic like this because, you know, it's working while black. And so you kind of say, how do I navigate fear? So I'll jump off into my solutions wells, and then I'll let you get in here. I think there's a few things that we can do now, like you as an individual can do right now to operate better in a workplace where you might be the only black person in there, or it might be like you and one other brother or sister in the building. And the first one is, if there's another black person in the building, to go out of your way to build a relationship with that person. If that person has no interest in building a relationship with you, then that just is what it is, and that's fine. But go out of your way to build a relationship with another person, you know, another black folk and other black folk in the building, because that's so critical. And my main point that I would like to say as a solution is be true to yourself. Like, I'm the type of guy that I'm not tap dancing. I'm going to show everybody massive amounts of love, respect, like bring that enthusiasm to the room, but I'm not a guy that's like going to jump all over the place and, you know, be enthusiastic in that way. But you can be enthusiastic without doing it in that way. But be yourself. Don't conform. Don't feel like you have to be what they want you to be in that space. Be yourself and be comfortable in that, and that's enough. That's enough. Go ahead, Wells.
I couldn't agree more, brother. It's all about staying true to you. It's like when you stay true to yourself, it comes across as genuine. And you know what happens? People respect that. It's hard to disrespect someone that allows you to doesn't respect themselves. You know what I'm saying? When you stand true to you and you're being genuine, people will always jump to that. But my solution primarily is to check them. Nip that stuff in the bud, man. When you're good at your job and you take pride in your work, you'll always be okay. As long as you're doing your job at a high level, you will always maintain your job. So don't let anyone try to trick you into thinking you have to be something that you're not. So I always lean back to the same stuff, man. Stay true to you because it all starts with you. Like, you have to set the expectation for what people can expect from you in the work environment. And don't let other people try to get you to do stuff that's not you. It's like it seems really trivial, but you see people do it daily. See, people, we always talk about, like, hi, how are you? That fake hi. You don't have to do that, man. Do you, stay true to you, and can set the tone for your work environment. Because when you do that, people respect you more for it, especially when it's genuine.
Yeah, absolutely. I can think about so many times where I had the opportunity in TNJ Radio, solution-based radio, I had so many opportunities to fold and not be true to myself and not represent our people in a way that I felt was respectful and fold and kind of start conforming to the environment around me. Like, for example, when you got a room full of white folks, like at my job, I'm the only black person in the building, and they talk about stuff that I can't relate to, and you can easily find yourself trying to front like you know what's going on when you don't. And it's okay to just chill and be quiet and not know what's going on. And that's being true to yourself, because one thing you know for sure, they're not coming over there to talk to you about what's going on in your life and what music you listen to and things of that nature. So once again, be true to yourself in the workplace. TNJ Radio, solution-based radio. Tune in next week, next Wednesday. Y'all know we got more heat for you. And once again, as you know, God is love. Take care of yourself. We out of here.